Good evening, and thank you for joining me once again for the Salvation Meeting here on Fortress Radio. I know I start the meetings with the same phrase every week, but it got me thinking this week. Do you remember the way that we used to be welcomed to Salvation Army meetings in days gone by? The way some of the old saints always used to welcome us? Maybe they were the welcome sergeant. Maybe they were people who just loved to go around the hall with a smile and a handshake. And very often, they may even have had a searching question. How's your soul? I didn't grow up in the same corps all my childhood, and I think I can recall quite a lot of different folk over the years who used to come round and fulfil that job. I also remember that some welcome sergeants were a bit better than others. I must confess we had one at one corps who, rather than really welcoming folk, sometimes acted a little bit more like a traffic policeman. If a visiting couple came into the hall and sat down in the wrong seat, he might go up to them, tap them on the shoulder and just warn them that they'd sat in so-and-so's seat and ask if they might move. Do you know, I think if that had ever happened to me, I might just have moved myself completely out of the building. But I guess many of us have such memories, good and bad. Most of the welcomers, though, were exactly that, welcoming. They did exactly what they should have done. They gave a lovely, reassuring smile and a handshake or even a hug. And there were those who I said could even challenge the very soul. So let's get our hearts stirred and our feet tapping right from the start this evening. Hands clapping and tambourines waving as we share our opening song. It's number 959 in the songbook, I'll Go in the Strength of the Lord. How else could we ever go out into the world except in his strength? We'll use Ivor Bazanko's great tune and we'll join in with the songsters and brass musicians from what is now Leicester South Corps as we sing together this great song.
Presence my servant shall answer, his promise my one shall serve.
welcomes earlier, I hope there's always a friendly welcome in our meetings here on Fortress Radio. And if you aren't completely sure, let me assure you that we are absolutely thrilled that you've chosen to come and worship with us once again. All we want to do is to share the love of Jesus with you all and offer you everything from inspiration and support through challenge and invitation right through to fellowship and worship. And tonight will be no different, of course. Our guest speaker this evening is Major Estelle Blake. Estelle and I and her brother Marston have been friends since I can't remember when. Our parents were great friends and fellow officers, and I just seem to have known them forever. Well, we've reached that point in our study of Peter's first epistle now, where Peter was trying to give struggling Christians as much help and advice as he could with regards to living Christ-honouring lives in a hostile world. And that's advice that we most certainly need today in this world, the world in which we try to live and serve the Lord. And it's by no means an easy task in 2021. But we have chosen to follow Jesus, and living our lives for him, following in his footsteps and trying to win others for him is what our meeting is all about this evening. So as we pray, let's remember the words of an old chorus that we used to sing often, perhaps less so in recent days. Follow, I will follow thee, my Lord. Follow every passing day. My tomorrows are all known to thee. Thou wilt lead me all the way. And as the Kettering Band plays that beautiful chorus for us, be reassured that Jesus does indeed know all our tomorrows and todays, and he will lead us, if we let him, on the pathway of life. I will follow thee. And Lord, we come to you this evening with thankful hearts for all the good things that you do for us and you've given to us every day of our lives. We thank you, Lord, for our families. We thank you, Lord, for our homes. We thank you, Lord, for a measure of health and strength. And we thank you that you are constantly by our sides, whatever life may throw at us, so that we are able to cope with the days ahead. Lord, there are so many things on our mind as we come to you in prayer this evening. The state of the world with regards to hatred and greed, immorality and just basic godlessness. We also come to you thinking about the current health situations of the world. And we thank you for inspiring doctors and scientists to give us these treatments that are now changing the face of our world once again, giving us hope that we may one day face a future more like what we used to know, rather than what we've had to live through for the last year. But most of all, Lord, we thank you that you are our Saviour. We thank you that you have forgiven our sins. We thank you that you are our friend, our guide, who will help us through our lives day by day if we just follow where you lead. So keep us close to you, Lord. Inspire our hearts. Give us peace. Give us joy. Give us love. And as a church, Lord, we pray, give us souls. We ask all these great things in your precious name. Amen. Let's sing again now one of the greatest songs of praise that there ever has been. When Colonel Catherine Baird wrote these words long ago, she could never have imagined, perhaps, what a wonderful, powerful and God-inspired arrangement they would be set to through the genius of Major Leslie Condon. It's number 359 in the songbook. So let's raise our voices together in this wonderful anthem of praise and worship. And it ends with that promise, surely the ultimate reassurance, Christ will overcome the world. Hallelujah.
Oh,
Our message from the singing company this evening was a piece that is recommended by Estelle, who'll be speaking to us later, of course. Another inspired song from the pens of Robert and Gwyneth Redhead. One life to live. Lord, may I live for thee. Thanks to the Boscombe Singing Company for reminding us once again of that beautiful song. The Bible reading for this evening is taken from 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 to 19, and it's headed in my Bible, Suffering for Being a Christian. Dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that's come on you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice, inasmuch as you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you're blessed, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. If you suffer, it should not be as a murderer or a thief or any other kind of criminal, even as a meddler. However, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name. For it is time for judgment to begin with God's household. And if it begins with us, what will the outcome be for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if it is hard for the righteous to be saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? So then, those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good. In reading this epistle in recent weeks, and also that of John, it's lovely to see how the writers often reflect on their own personal experience of knowing Jesus. We're very familiar with the Gospels, of course, and we read all the time there about Jesus spending time with and teaching Peter, John, and the other disciples. But reading their own letters to Christians, in which they use those wonderful life experiences that they had had to encourage others, is a very beautiful thing to experience. And of course, we also get to know Jesus. Perhaps not in the same way they did, though. There's a lovely, more modern song that's come into our songbook in recent years that expresses that joy about knowing him. And the band are going to bring their message to us tonight on that very theme. You might want to follow the words in your songbook of song number 565 as we listen to Trevor Davis's lovely arrangement, Knowing You. song number 832 by the American songwriter William Cushing takes up once again that theme of following Jesus. We are perhaps more familiar with the chorus of this song than the verses, but we'll use those verses as well this evening. And this gives me a chance to thank the musicians of Coventry City Choir. Almost every day for the last year, a family group of them have recorded a tune from our tune book and posted it online. And what a tremendous blessing this has proven to be. These efforts, like these meetings, go all over the world. And we will never truly know quite the extent of how much God has taken, multiplied and used our humble efforts to inspire and encourage others. So we'll sing along with one of those daily recordings this evening. And I truly hope you mean it when you sing, "Anywhere He Leads Me, I Will Follow On." Following Jesus. I've heard it claimed quite often that being a Christian is a way of life that is chosen by the weak. Those who need some sort of crutch to get them through life. How little those accusers know. For one only has to experience the difficulties that any of us faces in trying to live a good Christian life in our modern world to know that it's a far from easy road down which to travel. In fact, I've often said it, if we could tell the world, come follow Jesus and your life will be a bed of roses, I'm sure the churches all around the world would be full in no time. But on the contrary, Jesus made no such promise. He said, take up your own cross and follow me. Quite a difference. Another American songwriter, Alfred Ackley, set those words as the theme of a hymn many years ago now. And although this song has never officially been in our own songbook, I think it has been in some American supplements. It's a song that has become well known to most of us. And before Estelle speaks, I'd like to share that song with you tonight. Take up thy cross and follow me.
Country road, and there Hi everyone, I'm Major Estelle Blake and I have two roles. I am the Church Leader Corps Officer at Oldham Fitton Hill and I am also the Territory Chaplain to the Anti-Trafficking and Modern Slavery Unit. Today, continuing in our theme and our following through, we're looking at 1 Peter chapter 4 and I've chosen probably the hardest part, the second bit. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verses 12 to 19. I'm not going to read them all to you, but take your time to look at scripture and read those words. In 1 Peter chapter 4, for me, it's about living for God first and foremost. And those first 11 verses of 1 Peter 4 are all about that. But the second half is about suffering for being a Christian. And you know, Lent is that time where many of us decide we're going to give something up. And it's that sense of a false suffering for me. When we become Christians, we choose to live for God. It's about denying ourselves, but actually, that's what we think it's about. But if the truth be told, it's about embracing more. Verse 8, verse 9 and 10 says we should love each other. We should offer hospitality. We should serve each other. In those three verses, there's just an amazing sermon, but we're going to go past that and focus on the bit that I think as Christians we like to think about more, the suffering bit. As Christians, we love the idea of suffering for the gospel. And for many of us in the Western world, we've no idea what that actually means, especially for me. We've no idea what that means to be a Christian who is suffering for their faith. It's a powerful image. Firstly, Peter's letter was at a specific time, and it wasn't in 2021. Secondly, we bring our own cultural understanding to what it means. What does it mean for us to suffer? But in this Lenten time, I wonder if we consider giving up as suffering. But then again, it's all relative, isn't it? So let's look at verse 16. Do not be ashamed, but praise God. And verse 17, judgment starts with me. Do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name. Shame is such a powerful word, and it's such a powerful feeling and emotion. It's really something that can cause all manner of issues for many of us. That sense of shame, fear, anxiety, pain, that sense of shame that can be embarrassing and can bring about embarrassment. But to be ashamed of something for me is all about different. It's something about me personally. Shame, I feel, is that something that people put upon me. Whereas to be ashamed of something is something I feel and I put upon myself. The difference is so palpable. And in this letter, in 1 Peter chapter 4, we see that. Shame can be put upon us from others. People can make you feel shame about everything. But to feel ashamed is about our faith. It's about denying our faith. It's about denying who we ever are. Have we ever felt that like that? Have you ever felt ashamed to be a Christian? Have you ever felt ashamed to represent Christ because of the way you are living? Are you scared or worried to admit to being a Christian, a Christ follower? I mean, even the Easter story, which we'll celebrate in a few weeks, includes the denial from Peter. Even he was ashamed to admit that he was a Christ follower. You see, being a Christ follower is what separates us from apart from others. It's what makes us different. We are in this together as a group of Christians. I can't tell you how many times people have laughed at me when I say I follow Norwich City Football Club, and this year it's great. Now, I don't know whether they're saying that because they're trying to give me sympathy, but truthfully, sympathy is not what I look for when I say that. When I say I am a Christ follower, it shouldn't be about me, but about who I serve. I shouldn't be made to feel pitiful about serving Christ. I should be understanding that I should be praising God because I bear that name. Our faith is about belonging to God and being excited to be identified as a God follower. Praising God that I bear the name of Jesus. I bear my family's name, Estelle, Sarah, Blake, but I also bear my Heavenly Father's name. I'm a Christian. That's the reason to be joyful in my suffering, if and when it does happen, and it doesn't happen very often. And then Peter says in this verse, in this letter, in verse 17, for it is time for judgment to begin with God's household. And if it begins with us, what will be the outcome for those who do not obey the gospel of God? Oh my goodness me. How many of us think that judgment should be starting with others and not us who have Christ followers? No, we are the ones who are witnessing to God, so therefore it's right and proper that we're checked about that. If we consider judgment, maybe we consider the image in the TV of Judge Judy, or even A Few Good Men with Tom Cruise, or maybe even Judge Rinder. Judgment is such a powerful word. It means someone looking at our actions and our beliefs and deciding negatively or positively upon what they see in us. God isn't starting with others, but his own household and his own family. Those who bear his name. He sees the heart, he sees our thoughts, he knows what we are thinking and doing. Psalm 139 is a reminder of that. You see, Lent and suffering aren't just about the end of it going, well done, you gave up chocolate for 42 days. Judgment from God isn't about doing good stuff to be seen by others and God saying to us, well done. It's about God seeing us and judging us on the way that we have acted, about the here and now, about being Christ followers today. Today on this Sunday, today on this day. It's not about us being seen and heard just in the future. It's about today. And so Peter reminds us in verse 19, those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good. So if we do suffer, if we do feel that judgment, it should actually spur us on to be more committed to God, to our Creator, to do more for him. Lent is about commitment to God. Lentment is about commitment to doing good, to serving others, to offering hospitality, and for loving each other better. Let's make that choice today to not be scared to suffer for being a Christian because it denies who we are, but because we will be praising God because we bear his name. Let's realize that judgment begins with us because we have the awesome privilege to bear that name of a Christian, of Christ. And let's continue to do good in his name and to not be ashamed of who we belong to. Amen. May God bless you this week.
O Lord, as we look around this world today, we're often sorrowed and confused by what we see. There's hatred, greed, man's inhumanity towards other men, bitterness, hostility and pain, doubt and loneliness. And we may well cry out at times, what's your plan, Lord? Why are we having to go through this? Help us, Lord, to remember that we are never alone. You have promised to never forsake us, but to lead us and guide us through these difficult days. Maybe, on the very bad days, even carrying us through our lives. And may we always trust you. In the words of another beautiful modern song, we read, there are days when clouds surround us and the rain begins to fall. The cold and lonely winds won't cease to blow. There seems to be no reason for the suffering we feel. We're tempted to believe God doesn't know. When the storms arise, don't forget we live by faith and not by sight. Bow the knee. Trust the heart of your Father when the answer goes beyond what you can see. Bow the knee. Lift your eyes towards heaven and believe the one who holds eternity. And when you don't understand the purpose of his plan, in the presence of the King, bow the knee.
Following the Lord, where God illumines every step.
My thanks to the USA Western Territory Staff Songsters for bringing that wonderful song of challenge and reassurance to us this evening. We're going to end our worship tonight with a song that allows us to answer the Lord directly from our own hearts. To tell him that although we face these challenges in following Jesus every day, that we want to remain faithful to our calling. That we will stay on that path on the good days and on the days when we're more aware of the crosses that we have to bear. It's song number 649 in the songbook, and once again we encounter the beautiful words and music of Generals Gowans and Larson as we sing together, "I'll Not Turn Back."
Thank you.
Sincerest thanks once again to all who've taken part in our meeting tonight, especially to Major Estelle Blake for her ministry. May God continue to bless you all in your work and your witness for him. And may thy grace, peace, and heaven's richest and choicest blessings go with us all and remain with us until we can meet like this again. Amen.